You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith.
And Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called Despair to Spare.
Keeping Hope Alive. So we thought that today would be the right day to just address some current events. And it's interesting because as we were looking up just the news, what's been going on in our world recently, it is despairing to say the least.
Yeah, it's not something you look forward to going to the news today.
Yeah.
You don't look forward to what pops up on Apple News or CNN or anything.
Or the Google.
Or Google or even Facebook. Like, honestly, because it is a news feed and people tend to share whatever is popping up, whatever is viral. And so if you've been on social media at all or if you've watched the news at all, you've been exposed to this epidemic of hopelessness that we're facing. And just to fill you in, if you're not aware, or maybe if you've heard some of it, but you don't know all of it, CNN has an article that says, "What a horrible week for America," which that's just a terrible thing to have to look at. First thing in the morning. It was like at 6 in the morning that they posted it yesterday. But it said, "This has been an objectively awful week," and it goes through these mass shootings that happen in Texas and Ohio. And then we have this kind of constant reality this summer of the violence happening in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
And then we have more stories being rounded up of the undocumented immigrants and how their families are being treated, their children are being treated on our soil. And then just today I saw someone shared the article about the suicide that happened with this, I can't remember his name now, but the guy who is apparently going to uncover all this information about the government and
Jeffrey Epstein.
Shady stuff that's been going on.
Well, and not to mention there's this ongoing topic that every news source wants to talk about, which is race relations and violence. And I just saw a thing on the Today Show or the Daily Show. I don't know.
Some show that is daily
that happens when they were quoting President Trump as saying that he's worried about all hate groups. They asked him specifically about white supremacy. And he says, you know, I don't really like all hate groups or something to that effect. And so there's this consistent theme throughout our culture right now of just hopelessness.
Yeah.
A lot of people, the temperature of my Facebook, at least, is one of two things. People digging in their heels and really, really choosing to be confrontational, to be combative about these things that happen in the world and picking an opinion or taking a side that says, well, we're right and you're wrong. Or the other side is people who are completely hopeless and they don't find any joy and all they can post is things about how terrible the world is and how everything's going to heck in a handcart or, you know, whatever that saying is. And
that sounds like that's the exact phrase.
Going to shoot in a shoebox. and so one of the things I think is interesting about social media is that we get a curated news feed. And so your news feed looks a lot like whatever you like.
So that, and that's kind of a, not a conspiracy, but it is one of those things where aware is being done without our say so. Like, even though we generally all want to see things that we want to see. We don't want to see things that are chosen for us.
And we don't only want to see that. Most people, but some people really enjoy just living in their bubble. And what happens, I know for me personally, I didn't hear about a lot of the shootings right off the bat when they first happened, because my curated news feed is a lot of Jesus stuff. It's a lot of churches posting events and a lot of pastors posting about what's going on. And it wasn't until a pastor posted, like, praying for all these cities listed, had a list of the four shootings. And I was like, wait, what happened? And so I had to do some research and figure out what was going on. And, man, it is just so easy to fall into hopelessness. It's so easy to fall into despair and to fight everyone around you and to try to scrounge up some sort of sense of control of your life, mm-hmm. because it seems like everything around us is going out of control.
Yeah.
And it's easy for us to say, man, times are worse than they've ever been. But the truth is, as the book of Ecclesiastes tells us, there's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. And things may be bad for us or may seem bad at this moment. But there is a way for us to keep hope alive, even in the midst of so much despair, so many trying things that are weighing us down.
You mentioned like there's these different camps we fall into, responding to the things that we see. And I think all the while, like while we have all these different people shouting,
yeah,
essentially into the wind, we also have people that are watching.
Yeah.
We have those outside of the church who are looking at the church to say, well, what now?
Yeah.
Even though most of the time the church is the target of criticism because we don't always do things right and we are filled with broken people. But there is an element of the world that's like, okay, church, like all this bad stuff's happening and you guys are supposed to be the ones that have this faith and yeah. this like, you know, you love the Lord and, you know, someday he's going to come back for you. But what now? Like, what do we do when children are being ripped from their parents' arms and when people's lives are ending in an instant,
yeah,
totally unjustified? And how do you respond to that? And so we have to know what this hope is that we profess. We have to be able to articulate it. And that's not just our opinion.
Yeah.
It is scripture that says we must be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. And I think part of that, like you said, is knowing what that hope is.
Yeah. The assumption made in those statements is that you have a hope.
Yeah.
The assumption is that there is something that you're hoping in. And like you said, the world is looking and everyone is watching us to see, is there anything different?
Mm-hmm.
It's not in our mile high moments. It's not in those moments of, man, life is so great for me,
right,
that people can look and be like, wow, Jesus is really good in their life.
Your faith is strong.
Yeah, because we can chalk stuff up to our good, you know, opportunities, to our upbringing, yeah, to
and feelings.
Yeah, you can chalk it up to any of that because life's going well for me.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't looking around like, wow, things are going really well for them. That's a testimony to Christ.
Yeah, because things go well for people all the time.
For a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
You hit the lotto, someone could be like, wow, God was really with them in that moment. But it's not in those mile high moments that we get to testify to God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Because every person cheers on the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Every person is excited on the mountaintop. It's in those pits of despair, in the valleys, we truly get to share this hope that we have. And so I guess for those of you who aren't believers and you're like, what is Nick Smith podcast talking about today, this hope, we're just going to put it out. Our hope is eternally in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that has to be your hope if you want it to transcend this earth, because what we deal with in our day-to-day stuff is the temporal.
Yeah.
We deal with things that are here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if we place our hope in the world, if we place our hope in politics, in whoever the president is, if we place our hope in finances and resources,
mm-hmm.
then ultimately we're going to be let down.
Yeah.
Because every single time, something's going to happen to that.
Yeah.
Nothing on earth lasts except for change. That's the only thing that's constant is change.
Right. Well, and even putting our hope in Christ for those things alone is not hope.
No, because like, then you use Jesus as a means.
Yeah. So like a lot of times we say, well, I'm just hoping in Christ. I'm just hoping it. But really, I just really hope he gives me this.
Yeah.
I just really hope that I get this by serving him.
Yeah.
And the reality is in our eternity, we're not getting heaven. We're not getting just to be free from pain.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting Christ. And in him is fullness, fullness of life, joy, everlasting. In him is freedom from our sin.
Yeah.
From the weight of that, from all of the pain that it has caused. And we do receive that, but not in this life.
Yeah, not always.
Not always. And we certainly don't come to him saying, hey, look, I just want to get to heaven so that I cannot have to deal with the choices I've made.
Yeah, I just need some fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. Yeah. And so if I could not burn, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Also, I hear that you're handing out these $1 million blessings. So if you can go ahead and throw that my way.
I did share that thing on Facebook, and I'm hoping that you come through.
I'm going to need that money. I'm going to need all minds, Jesus. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's false hope.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, we see, and even unbelievers can recognize those who are preaching false hope.
Oh yeah.
We can recognize it because we are human beings, and we are a little bit skeptical by nature to be like, wait a minute, I see you promising me this thing, but,
And it does an injustice to the gospel when we start pinning our hope on the temporal stuff.
Yeah.
And we start telling people like, listen, your life's terrible. Trust Jesus. He's going to make it better. Because when that happens, when we tell people that Jesus is going to make their life better and then their life doesn't get better, then all of a sudden it's like, well, Jesus let me down. Clearly this Jesus thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
But when we are able to profess a gospel that says, even when things are crazy, even when your life is falling apart, there's still Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's beyond our current situation.
Yeah. And it also comes with having a proper understanding of what the world is. And I know that's like a really broad, like, what is the world? It's not philosophical.
Yeah.
But when you have grasped onto the fact that this world that we live in is not going to go well.
Yeah.
That the essence of, I mean, part of the good news of the gospel is that there's bad news, that there is like, look, people are messed up. We are born bent toward doing what we want to do, no matter how it affects other people.
Yeah.
If that means lying to someone, or for someone else, it may mean stealing. For someone else, it may mean killing them. Every single person is born with that within them. So that means that the world we live in, the relationships we have, are already fallen. And so our expectations oftentimes are dashed because everyone's good inside, and everybody ultimately, nothing should go wrong in this world, because that's just how we grow up and with our rainbows and puppy dogs.
Yeah.
And not
rose tinted glasses.
Right. And not to say we should be like the far other end of the spectrum of, you know, everything's terrible and, you know, bad and
completely pessimistic.
Like there needs to be, a tempering of that. And that's where hope comes in, because it's hope says, look, the reality is right here. This is not God's like perfect will. Like this as it is, people killing each other, people hating each other because of the color of their skin, people lying in government. That is not God's best.
Yeah.
However, I know that there is a perfect reality that is coming.
Yeah.
I know that there is relief from this. And I may not taste it fully on this side of eternity, but I know it's coming. That's what real lasting hope is. But it starts with, you know what? People are fallen.
Yeah.
Leaders are fallen. Government is fallen. No matter how successful it's been for however many years, it is fallen at its core.
Yeah. It's broken. There's, because we're, every situation, every organization is run by broken people.
Yeah.
And having a hope that surpasses your current situation is the only way to move through this world.
Yeah.
I remember having a conversation with a friend, and I don't remember how the conversation started, but we got to a point where they said, well, I just have hope in people. And I said, well, they're going to let you down a lot. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic or cynical.
Yeah.
But the reality is that at some point in every relationship, that other person is going to let you down.
Yeah.
And at some point, your job will fail you.
Yeah.
At some point, your finances will not be exactly what you want them to be.
Yeah.
There's always going to be lack in this world. And if you're putting all of your hope in the things of this world, then you're going to be in a consistent state of frantic chaos. You're always going to be frantically trying to gather pieces and trying to find some sense of wholeness and stability.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we have people that dig their heels into whatever camp they're in, because if I have to admit that my camp, whatever side I'm on, also is broken, also is fallen, also has some things that are detestable as a part of them, then all of a sudden what I used as my identity and as my foundation is no longer there.
Yeah.
And so my identity is now rooted in something that's broken. So now what do I do?
Yeah. And my sense of satisfaction now is shattered.
That's
because
right.
we do gain a sense of satisfaction from being right or thinking we're right. And the part of the necessity of realizing that the camp I'm in isn't 100% right or isn't worthy of defending to the death.
Yeah.
Part of that is understanding that we are meant to find our satisfaction and our identity and our wholeness in something greater than us.
That's right.
Like, again, going back to that, we need to feel the lack in order to seek the fullness, in order to really go after the one in whom we should have eternal hope. We have to realize, like, this thing that I'm hoping in is messed up. Like, this thing that I'm putting all my faith in, all my joy in, I'm staking my satisfaction on it, it's leaving me dissatisfied.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. I think that there's maybe a sovereign grace in that because, hey, if I'm really going to have you pursuing me, I need you to understand how you can't pursue these other things. I need you to understand that this isn't going to satisfy you as much as I am.
Yeah. Understanding the lack helps us to see, that we need something greater. I love John Wesley, used to say to his circuit riders, he would tell them that, they were supposed to preach law until people asked for grace.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's not until we can identify that we've placed our hope in something that will ultimately fail us, that we can then say, okay, what then is there to hope in?
Yeah.
Since this has let me down, since that's let me down, since all of these things have let me down, what can I then hope in?
Yeah.
And I love this verse in scripture from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. And really it's a prophecy. It's a prophetic verse about Jesus coming. And it's one of the prophecies he fulfills when he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. And starting in verse 9 of chapter 9, he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then skipping down a little bit into 11, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double."
Yeah.
And so, and then there's some more after that, some more prophetic stuff. But one of the cool things about this passage is that what Zechariah was getting from the Holy Spirit is that our hope, he says, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope." Our stronghold is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And being a prisoner of hope, such a cool thought.
Yeah.
To be prisoner of hope, because you're going to be prisoner to something.
Yeah.
A lot of times people are prisoner of worry. They're prisoner of doubt. They're prisoners of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the media's main job, is to pump fear.
Yeah.
The two things that sell products better than anything, fear and sex.
Yep.
And so if I can pump fear into you and say, you know what, without my product, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Or if I could say, hey, with my product, you're going to have all the other people want you.
Yeah.
Those two things are going to sell. And so a lot of the news, a lot of the social media, a lot of the spin that we see in these articles is to put us into this state of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, if you look around, take the temperature of whatever town you're in, you can see that there is fear, there is hopelessness, there is despair that has gripped people.
Yeah.
And as believers, we get to stand in the midst of all of that and say, you know what? I'm not a captive of any of that.
Yeah.
I'm a prisoner of hope. Which means no matter what happens, I have hope to rely on. No matter what happens, I am going to be slave to hope. I'm going to live my life through the hope that I see. And what he said in the beginning of that section is, behold, your king is coming to you. That's where our hope is.
Yes.
Is behold. And it's not just this one day thing. Like, listen, one day Jesus will be here. And so I'm just holding on until the rapture. Come on, Jesus.
Until the sky splits open.
Until he comes or calls.
Yeah.
I'm just holding on. But your king is coming to you even where you are.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of chaos.
Yeah, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
That's right.
And wherever the gospel is preached, the kingdom has come. Jesus said that. over and over again, the kingdom of God is now here. He didn't say the kingdom of God someday, like way off in the distance, like maybe you guys might see it.
He also didn't tell us you have to vote the kingdom of God in.
Oh my.
He goodness. Also didn't tell us that you have to work the kingdom of God in. He said the kingdom of God is here.
And yeah, and you don't have to chase after.
No.
You don't have to strive for the kingdom of God.
That's right. It's present wherever the spirit is and wherever the truth is proclaimed. And so that means we don't put our hope in man. We don't put our hope in policies. We don't put our hope in politics. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to just kind of put a caveat in that. I'm not saying that we don't vote. I'm not saying that we don't try to affect change in our social political climate. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we don't try to use the hope that we've been given to help those who are distraught and downtrodden and the least and lost in our society and even in other societies. We're supposed to use everything we have at our disposal, including the government and the politics, to help people, to bring them into this understanding of Christ. Yeah. But what I am saying is that when you stop seeing this world as a means or as a mediation, mm-hmm. and you start seeing it as a final destination, you lose track of the hope of Christ.
Yeah.
Because you start seeing like, okay, if I don't have control or if I don't have the things I really want in this space, in this time, then there's nothing to hope for.
Wow.
But if you can see, okay, this is a temporary time. I love that over and over in scripture, it says that our life is a vapor. Yeah. It's like a breath.
Yeah.
And those of you who have done Throwback Thursdays?
Yes.
You'll look back at pictures of, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and be like, wow, that seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
But our lives happen so quick, but yet we try to hold on to these temporary lives and we try to hold on to all the stuff that brings us comfort.
Yeah.
When ultimately it's going to come and go. And so we have to seek the eternal.
Yeah. So you had mentioned the author T. Scott Daniels.
He's a pastor also.
Yeah. Shout out to which church is it?
He's in Nampa College Church.
That's right. He had said something at a retreat that we were at. He was talking about the world. He was talking mm-hmm. about how do we raise our kids? How do we witness? How do we do ministry in this world that is more and more looking like Babylon?
Yeah.
And he was like, people ask, how do I respond to this? And how do I, and there's so many issues that pastors especially get brought these issues. Like, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And he goes, I am neither pessimistic nor optimistic. I'm a prisoner of hope.
Which he was actually quoting Dr. Cornel West.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Another great voice. And that just, even those images of captivity being carried off, like we understand for us believers that we are exiles in this world. This is not our home. We've been brought here as a result of brokenness. Mm-hmm. And so we are here where we have, and over the images that we have in scripture from from the Israelites being carried into captivity is, make a life for yourself here.
Yeah.
Be present. Use your influence as much as you can. And yet you will be living under a rule, under powers and authorities that you don't have the ability to change. Mm-hmm. But while you're here, know that outside of captivity, there is a land that I am giving to you, that I promised to you. And so it all comes full circle in looking at what hope is and how it's transferred to us through the ages.
And there's this verse that we hear a lot that's overused, that Jeremiah 29:11. And it's a great verse. And mm-hmm. Jesus, or it's not Jesus, but it's the prophet Jeremiah talking to the people of Israel and saying, for I know the plans I have for you, thus says the Lord.
Yeah.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's written in a lot of high school graduation cards. But that verse is given to the people of Israel for the exact reason of what you just said. It's telling them, hey, you're going to live in a land that's not your own. You're going to be dealing with a lot of stuff, a lot of struggles and trials, and people are going to oppress you. Yeah. But you know what? I still have plans for you. I haven't forgotten you, and I am going to give you a future. There's something beyond this.
Yeah.
So while you're here, You know, make homes, make land while you're in this world. Use your influence, have friends while you live in whatever small town you're in or large city, wherever you are in the world.
Are you applying that to yourself specifically?
I'm applying it to everyone listening.
Oh, okay. It sounded like it was personal. I didn't know.
Sometimes I like to preach to myself. And so, but whatever it is, use the time that you have, not focusing on all the issues, but use your time, your talent, your resources to point towards this eternity, to thrive where you are and move forward and have that hope that surpasses your current situation.
Yeah. And I love, okay, so my husband and I joke about words and like, I'll look up definitions of words, even if I know what the word means. I'm like, what is the actual definition of the word?
Yeah, actually yesterday, Kylie Jo, there was a word that came up and she was like, but what does that word mean? And I had to stop, like, wait, do you really not know what it means?
And I was like, I know what it means. I know how to use it in a sentence. I know, like, I could spell it. It's fine. But I mean, if you think about it, there's so many words that we use nowadays that we don't really think about the weight of what they mean or where they come from. Why was this word originally used? What?
The etymology.
Yes, etymology. So, in the Old Testament, where we see the word hope, it's a word that's like bata or bata.
I like bata on my bread.
Stop it. And there's a meaning. The meaning of this word is, and again, looking at a lot of the words we see in the Old Testament, the Hebrew understanding of faith and all of that, it was not just a conceptual thing.
Yeah.
It was not a mental, it was not just philosophical. It was like
a concrete thing.
It was a concrete idea. And so this word means confidence and security.
Mm.
And then again, looking in the New Testament, even the word that's used in the Greek, there's not any sense of doubt being able to be a part of that word. There's not any sense of despair or throwing up our arms like, well, it doesn't really matter what I do. And so often that's our response.
Yeah.
Our flesh responds with, well, gosh, I don't even know. Yeah. I hope things work out. And we think that's hope.
Yeah.
We think that, well, I don't know. I guess we're living under this oppression. And I think about like what you were describing, the image of being taken to a place that's not yours. And we look at the scriptures and we see that. But we also understand that in our country, and in this country, there was, and at least for our people, there was a time where that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Where it was being forced into a place not of your own doing and being forced to make a life with whatever was left from that. Whatever the ramifications of war and struggling and political issues, now you have to make something.
Yeah.
And so often, and this isn't just speaking to the African-American community, but for a moment, so often our response is hopelessness until we find a means to create hope for ourselves.
Well,
you know what? I'm going to just pull myself up by my bootstraps, which I don't know that a lot of African-Americans say that phrase.
I don't know if any people can actually do that anyway. I think like physically that's impossible.
Right. But you know what? I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to do what I know my ancestors couldn't. And then my hope is in that.
Mm-hmm.
When really, no, our hope was never meant to be in the success or the acclaim or, you know, the overcoming mentality. But our hope is meant to be found in the eternity of Christ.
Well, and what's interesting about looking back at slavery or the Holocaust or anything that was a major, horrendous episode that people had to endure, you find that in those moments, the faith, especially Christian faith, thrives.
Yes.
Because it's only in those moments that you can truly experience a fullness that you can't experience in having your needs met.
Yeah, in your circumstances.
There are things that God does and God reserves for those who are suffering. Mm-hmm. And I love scripture says that God is near to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
But you look at the faith, the Christian faith among slaves in America.
Yeah.
And how it wasn't just like, well, master said, you have to believe this. It was like, no, I found Jesus.
Yeah.
And now I have a hope that transcends my current situation.
Yeah. It wasn't that I'm hoping in Christ in order to be freed.
Yeah.
It's, I am now free in Christ.
Yeah. And if I can get away, I'm out this piece.
I'm a run.
I'm a go ahead.
I'm
a
do it.
Ghost.
Underground Railroad's there. I'm on that.
But then you look at people like even Corrie Ten Boom.
Yes.
Who was in the Holocaust. She was captured and she had a faith in God that transcended being in concentration camps and the torture that she endured.
Yeah.
But it was only found beyond her current situation.
Yeah.
And so as we look towards practical application, we've talked a lot of theoretical stuff. We talked a lot about what hope is and how hope works and all this stuff. But how do we actually keep hope alive when we are bombarded day after day after day with negative imagery and negative stories and all this stuff that's coming that's telling us the world is doomed and
watch out.
Watch out. There's nothing you can do about
it. And everybody is your enemy.
Yeah.
Everyone that disagrees with you is your enemy.
How do we maintain hope in that?
Well, the most practical way that I know to do that for my own walk is praise.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
The only way that I mean, it shatters so many things that I see. I see this in front of me.
Yeah.
I can't necessarily see the manifestation of everything I'm hoping for right now. But when I praise, my perspective is lifted. My focus is changed because I'm now praising the one who creates all life and who holds it in the palm of his hand, who with tender mercy and grace crafts everything that we face, not to break us down, but to build us up in him, to point us to his glory, to bring good for our souls. And so when I'm praising God, it's not saying, well, everything's fine. People sometimes think like if you're singing, that you're joyful just because, and that's why you're singing.
Yeah, like it's a response to being joyful.
Yeah, which it can be. Like there's many times where it should be, because a lot of times a spoken word becomes not enough, and so we sing, and then that becomes not enough, and then we dance, and like that's beautiful. But a lot of times my praise is coming out of a place of I don't have the joy, I don't see how this is gonna work, and I don't have the words. I don't even know what to say. And for me, it's that inner groaning that comes out through the Holy Spirit. And so praise, I believe, is a practical way that we can live out of the hope that we have in God.
That's good. I think another practical tip for anyone listening, wondering how can you get past this despair? How can you keep hope alive? Is coming to an understanding that you need biblical community. Because when you, now again, biblical community, I want to qualify that because you can find community in hate groups. You can find community in your political party. You can find community in all sorts of places that are man-centered.
Yeah.
But when you find biblical community, when you have a group of like-minded people that really want your best and want to continue to point you to the hope that they have, it keeps you out of the spiraling downwards, because a lot of what happens is we seek isolation.
Yeah.
Because we want either our own desires, or we're so far gone in our doubts, our fears, that we don't want to face anyone else, or we're afraid of other perspectives. Mm-hmm. And then you start to see these lines, these divisive lines deepen.
Yeah.
And it happens on both sides. You have people who are socially liberal digging their heels in. You have people who are socially conservative digging their heels in. And you have every side is angering, or is angry. Every side is raging.
It's angering.
Which is angering.
It is angering.
But all the while feeding into the cycle of hopelessness.
Yeah.
And so you have to find a Bible-believing group of people who can hold you in prayer, who can lift you up, who you guys can, in that moment, in the face of despair, you can rejoice, you can feast, you can have a Sabbath, you can lift your hands and praise, and everyone around you will look at you like you're crazy. But what you can say is, in spite of what we see, we are going to praise the God of all creation.
Yeah.
And when you do that around other believers, it strengthens your soul. It strengthens your ability to withstand.
Yeah.
And I love scripture tells us we're supposed to carry each other's burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're out there, listening to this podcast right now, and you're one of the few people that say, well, I can be a Christian and I don't have a church.
False.
Here's the thing. You can be. I saw this and I really love this quote. I don't know who said it, but it's like, yeah, you can be a Christian without a church. Just like, you can be a zebra surrounded by lions. Like, you're going to be eaten and mangled. You're still a zebra.
Still a zebra.
But you're not a living zebra.
Yeah.
And so you can be a Christian without a church family, but you won't be alive long in your faith. Your faith walk will not last.
Yeah.
And yeah. so you have to have a group of believers. Yeah. And this is going to help us overcome despair.
Yeah.
So rejoice, praise, community.
Yeah. I think one thing you touched on was Sabbath mm-hmm. in that. And Sabbath is an element of hope.
Yeah.
We understand that, well, it's a whole other podcast that we will have to do, but Sabbath is a glimpse of what we are going to have. Sabbath, the reason we take it, it's not just, you know, it is a commandment. It is part of God's perfect plan for his people.
To have rest.
To yeah. have rest. But it is also a glimpse of the hope of eternal rest in him. Hmm. We take a day, which really, if you work, you know a day is not enough. We take a day for rest and rejuvenation as part of living into the hope that we have. And that will roll over into other areas. When you have that day of rest, mm-hmm. and you break away from whatever it is you normally do just to enjoy and taste and see that the Lord is good, that will fuel you. So the next time you encounter that news story or that pessimistic friend or that whatever it is on the radio, you're not just going to jump. You're not just going to be like reacting out of this built up threshold. You have centered yourself in rest and rejuvenation. That's yeah. part of Sabbath is a huge part of living in hope.
Yeah. Keeping hope alive.
Yeah.
And I think just to wrap it up, if you don't have an eternal hope and you are so focused on the now, I really don't know what to tell you as far as what you can hope in this world.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that I know of that helps us to maintain a spirit of hope is knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior
yeah.
and hoping in him beyond our current situation.
Yeah.
And so we hope, we really do hope.
We do have a hope as well yes. that is more temporal.
Yes. Our temporal hope is that you have received something in today's podcast that has inspired hope in you and has mm-hmm. given you the tools to seek hope beyond the news, seek hope beyond the current situation.
Yeah. I hope we hope for you
yes.
that this has awakened something. If you don't have a relationship with the risen Lord, that maybe you're more curious about that. If you do have a relationship with the risen Lord and you just need to go deeper, we hope that this has breathed some life into this for you.
That's right.
This has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.